I feel very secure.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402, March 17th, and another rock and rolling day. Our crew, Frosty. How's it going, Frost?
Good morning. Did you eat your corned beef and cabbage today?
No, but that'll be later. And then, of course, did you get caught in the rain?
No, it actually didn't rain in Shasta Lake that much yesterday.
Oh, okay. Plus, it rained everywhere else. Well, not where I was, because I was...
Must have passed it down.
I was eradicating vermin. Linda, my soulmate. Hey, baby.
Well, good morning. And one thing I'd like to add again from the Sundial Film Festival is that we congratulated Jesse Rosten yesterday for claiming the $1,000 prize. It was such a really a spectacular three-day event. But we also wanted to share with our listeners that there were 900 attendees. And also, that's not including the 500 that went to the Saturday Night Gala, but we also wanted to recognize that the best show of photograph was for Adam Atone's Leffenholtz Storm, and the best narrative film for Jeffrey Loveness, Profiles Are Lovely, and best animation film for Chase Jensen's Revenge of the Mouse. So we want to make sure that they get recognition, too. Now, happy St. Patrick's Day!
You also.
Well, just to give you a little background, St. Paddy's Day, actually DDYS originally, is an annual feast day which celebrates St. Patrick, one of the patron saints of Ireland.
Right, when you ran the snakes out of Ireland.
Generally celebrated on March 17th. The world's first St. Patrick's Day parade was held in Boston in 1761, and it was organized by a charitable society. So, St. Patrick's blue, not green, was the color long associated with St. Patrick. Green, the color most widely associated with Ireland, with Irish people. And with St. Patrick's Day in modern times, may have gained its prominence through the phrase, the wearing of the green. Did that make sense to you?
Well,
it used to be blue, but the green, the wearing of the green, so now it's green.
I understand.
Okay.
Our guests are wearing blue today, so she says, hey, can't pinch me.
Which means to wear shamrock on one's clothing.
Yes.
And many times in Irish history, to do so was a sign of Irish nationalism or loyalty to the Roman Catholic faith. St. Patrick used the shamrock, a three-leaved plant, to explain the Holy Trinity to pre-Christian Irish. Now, here's your blessing for the day. May your blessings outnumber the shamrocks that grow, and may trouble avoid wherever you go.
Yeah, my favorite is, may you be an hour in heaven before the devil knows you're dead.
And may the last face you see be mine.
Well, especially if you're reloading. This is Carl in the Bottom, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We have the Reading Police Department, and we have another guest who's going to tell you how Bernie Madoff stole off with $50 billion. News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl Lindebaugh. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Rob Logan, attorney at law, 1350 Placer Street. Divorce, criminal cases, bankruptcy. Rob's the man. Rob will go to court and fight for you. He's known by the people. He's known by the people in the court system. He will do the job for you. All right, Chris, what about St. Paddy's Day?
Top of the morning to you.
Hi. Hey.
You know, Carl, I'm having a little bit of an issue. Yesterday I heard you speak of the Italian, and I thought, well, maybe we should refer to you as Carl Botti.
No, it's Carlo Bottini.
But then I heard you this morning speak in the brogue, and I thought, well, maybe we should call you Carl McBott.
Yeah, it's a Carlo Bott today. Let my laugh.
So,
what else could we do?
That's it. You guys have a good day.
Aww. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you, bye.
Well, we have two special guests in the house. We like Chris.
Okay. Hey, our guest today, with two guests, Monty Height and Wendy Miller. And Monty is the Avoid the Five. He's the spokesperson. It was really Avoid the 30, but being today is St. Patty's Day, and we're all going to be wearing the green and drinking maybe a little green beer, maybe too much green beer.
Monty, tell us who you represent.
Actually, I represent the Redding Police Department, the California Highway Patrol, the Shasta County Sheriff's Department, Anderson Police Department, and Shasta County Probation. Those put together are the five that you want to avoid, especially this evening. A lot of folks have read in the newspaper lately that Redding Police Department has made a tremendous amount of DUI arrests over the weekends. The last couple of weekends we've had just 10 and 12 nights, which is considerably, in addition to what we were talking about off the air about the designated driver.
Oh, no. Okay, now this has got to be my favorite story. Can we name the name of the place? I guess it was in the paper.
It's in the paper. It's public
information. I'll just say a local establishment.
A local establishment had a van. It was a great idea. A van to drive the people who had been drinking at their place home. Well, it stopped at the DUI, and guess who got busted? That's right, the van driver.
You know, in all fairness, he might have been on extra strength Tylenol or something and mixed his, you know.
Yeah, he sure might have.
Mixed
anyway.
His pills with this. Anyway, that's a lot of people to represent. So, okay, what are the big things to look out for? And again, we need to talk about alcohol consumption and the fact that you may have one drink or two drinks, and if you're mixing it with, like, say, a new prescription, it could really
Absolutely.
Go over the edge.
It does. And a lot of folks, especially as you get older, your metabolism changes in that, because I know I also instruct AARP classes. And so I deal with a lot of different age groups, and people all too often, they do not realize that you may normally just have a glass of wine or maybe two glasses of wine for at dinner, but all of a sudden you've also taken that prescription medication before you went out, and that combination will put you well over the under the influence. Not necessarily your blood alcohol won't be any higher, but your ability to operate a motor vehicle, and that's what we're concerned about, because there are a lot of folks that technically they won't be able to pass a field sobriety test even though they only had two beers. So there's two different sections in the vehicle code. One says that you can't operate a motor vehicle with your blood alcohol level 0.08 or higher. And the other one says that if you're impaired to a point where you just can't legally operate because you've just fallen down, then you still can't operate it. So,
you know, there's that old saying that your body doesn't catch up with where your mind is,
yeah.
You know, and you think you're 25, but your body changes. How do you teach people to really take a look at that?
You know, I think, unfortunately, they learn through their own mistakes. They start realizing that, because, you know, I'm 55 now, and I know that I'm not capable of doing the same things that I was when I was 25. And hopefully, along with that, your maturity level has gone up to realize, you know, I can't go out and do that anymore. I just need to be a little bit more responsible and understand that I have my limits.
Just because we get a little bit older doesn't mean you have to mature. All right. Okay. And Wendy, you're here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wendy. Wendy was here last week.
Why
is it you always show up with the people that start talking about drunk driving and traffic accidents?
You know, we're out there trying to educate people, and it's important for us to, you know, align ourselves with law enforcement because they're the ones out there getting those drunk drivers.
Yeah.
That's how we met you, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
It wasn't a traffic stop, was it?
No, actually, I'm very proud to say I've never been stopped for a traffic stop for anything. Thank you.
So would there be
Sounds like a challenge to me.
Will there be a great number of cabs out there tonight?
Well,
designated drivers?
Ideally, we'd like to see that people just go out and they enjoy themselves, they celebrate, but they don't do it to a point where they're so intoxicated that they can't, or impaired that they can't operate a vehicle. I always think of people that have their designated drivers, they're very intuitive to what may happen, but it's almost like premeditated drinking. They're going out with a mission. I'm going out and I'm going to drink. And if that's your situation, then it is nice that you do have your cell phone ready so you can call the local taxi company or have a friend come pick you up. But it's kind of a sad state when you plan on going out and getting hammered just for that simple reason. And so we really like people we don't want to encourage that, but we also realize that's part of the holiday and that's part of a lot of people's lifestyle. So,
hey, Marty, there's been many times when the DUI checkpoints came up empty, and now all of a sudden we're starting to see a lot of hits. Is there any, you got any ideas about that?
Well, I figured that you got to be pretty much of a goofball if you drive into a DUI checkpoint and you've been impaired. You got so many signs warning you not to go into them. But we do. We have, maybe we'll have 300 or 400 people that pass through out on the county roads, and maybe close to 1,000 here in the city of Reading. And the difference is, and here in the city of Reading, in addition to checking for alcohol consumption, we also check for driver's status, license status, and things like that. Where for the Highway Patrol, when we're checking those, it's just alcohol related. We're not checking driver's license status.
Right, so. But it seems like, well, we've got to take a quick break here. Look, this is Carl Lindabot here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us after we sell a bunch of stuff. Hey, this is Carl Lindabot. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, finest tobacco emporium in North State, finest walk-in humidor. Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee you want at the prices that are right. Joe and Shelley, go visit them. Our guests today, Monty Height and Wendy Miller, talking about how to avoid being getting a potsy tonight when you're driving around on St. Patty's Day.
It's Wendy Mills. I'm sorry, honey.
You know, when you don't have your glasses on, you blur it. I'm okay.
But that's okay. You know, I have a question for both of you. If you're in a if you own an establishment and you know that your crowd is rowdy and they've been having they're partying hard, aren't you held responsible if they leave and they're completely drunk and falling over? Is there something, I'm not sure, where an employee can stand at the door and check these people before they leave?
Absolutely. The establishment has the responsibility to make sure that they don't overserve. And generally what happens, just for an example, we had a fatality this past weekend down in Tehama County, which that individual had been at a drinking establishment just prior to the collision, just a couple minutes prior to the collision, left, was involved in a crash, and ended up dying. And within the next, within the 24 hours, ABC, the alcohol beverage control folks, were alerted by, in this case, the California Highway Patrol. They sent an investigator down. They go in, and they start questioning the employees as to, you know, what they recall and what they don't recall. And then the other thing is they look at videotape. I mean, a lot of these places all have videotape. So you can take a look, and it's usually to the benefit of the establishment to have that videotape going, because they can look at them and they can see that that person was sitting there, and during the course of a couple hours, they drank, you know, X amount of drinks. They weren't doing anything goofy. They weren't staggering. They weren't falling down. They weren't doing it. And they can see them actually going in and out of the establishment and then leaving. So, but when you have a big group like maybe at a St. Patty's Day celebration, you see people, then you do still have a responsibility to make sure, because that person may, the hostess may have went over there one time and brought one pitcher of beer, but this one individual is sitting there and he's getting beers from everybody else and doing shots and doing everything else. And so if they're aware of it, if they are conscious that this is going on, then they need to take some type of measure.
And it's not just drinking establishments, it's private homes too.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if you have a St. Patty's Day party and everybody is doing green tequila shooters, well, God knows why you would do that.
And that's what Wendy's much involved right. with, is our local host policies.
Well, I'd just like to mention, I mean, no, Monty was talking about legal responsibility, but what about, you know, moral responsibility? If you know that somebody has been drinking and they've had quite a bit and they're too intoxicated to drive, take their keys away. Don't let them, call them a cab. You know, just be that friend and don't let them drive while they're so intoxicated.
And you know, let me talk about this. This is something we just got. It looks like a group of local agencies and nonprofits put together a forum for March 25th. We're going to talk about it more to prevent teen drinking.
Yes.
And so it's going to give Shasta County residents an opportunity to be part of a community approach to reduce teen drinking. We're going to talk a lot more about this, but this kind of falls into that. It's not just the legal, but the moral imperative to take care of our fellow residents here.
Absolutely.
Is there something to your knowledge that might be a disposable kind of unit that you can buy that you can give to your guests or the bar people who own a bar? You know, just like when you go to the doctor and they have these little rubber things that go on, and everybody's using the same thermometer, but they put a like rubber thing on it. So, I mean, do you think it would be a good idea to have that at the bar? And as you leave, if you know, just
well,
because
you know, that it's called a preliminary alcohol screening device, a PAS device, and that's what law enforcement uses on all of our stops where alcohol's part of the investigation. But the problem is that they sell those type of devices for them. They're generally just for entertainment purposes only. Right on the outside, it says it, because you can go into the bar, and if you don't understand exactly the procedures on how it works, you go in there and you have a glass of beer. You take one glass of beer and you get done sipping the beer, and you take that device and blow into it or do whatever. Your blood alcohol level is going to be very, very, very high. If you wait for 5 or 10 minutes after, and you blow into that, it's probably won't even be measurable if you've just had a beer. That's all it is. So there's a time frame involved. There's a whole bunch of things are involved, and
don't rely on those.
Yeah, you can't not rely on it at all. And then part of our education program that we're involved with Shasta County and the Injury Prevention Coalition is we're trying to come up with maybe a public awareness to have those preliminary alcohol screening devices available, so we can go out. So if you're going to be at a restaurant, maybe on a Thursday night, we're going to say the Avoid the Fire. We're going to be there, and we're going to be able to let you know that information.
Great.
Hey, okay, we've got to take a hard break here, but we want to thank Monty Height and Wendy Mills for being here and to give everybody a warning. Hey, the police are going to be out heavy tonight. If you're going to be drinking, have a designated driver who is not drunk. You know, call a cab and all, but take care of yourself. But also, as Wendy says, take care of our fellow North Staters, or take care of our friends or people you don't even have to know them. But, you know, make sure that people get home alive. It's not worth it. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS with Carl and DeBott. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Finest jewelry you can get. Great prices. The owner will make you a fair deal at all times. Only on-premise Watch Pyramid in Reading. Got a phone call while we were on the break. Yellow Cabs has extra cabs on duty tonight to help with availability. So they're putting more cabs out there, people. So if you're just kind of wondering, if you're not sure, call the cab.
Do it. Hey, we're going to go to the phone right now. Carol, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for waiting.
I would love to meet you two, and I would like to have gone to Ventnor's when you had your open house or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I don't drive after dark. I'm getting old.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's just about getting old. I'm not very good at nighttime driving.
I don't, and you know, I don't like to drive down into heavy traffic at night. And I'm a good driver. I wanted to talk to Monty about not drinking, but I saw on TV about 3 years ago they had a show about meth use, the before and after pictures of these people that are on meth.
Right.
And I've been thinking. That would be an excellent program for these 12, 13-year-old girls and on up that are think so, you know, that are pretty and they want to stay that way. If they saw these pictures, I think that would stop a lot of them before they ever get started.
I saw that a woman, it had like 12 pictures of her starting when she was 20.
Yeah.
A beautiful young woman, and by the time she was 45.
And, you know, I don't think it would be an expensive project if they just go around to these schools and pass out these pictures and, you know, give a talk on it and show these kids what they're going to do to their bodies. Yeah. I think it would stop a lot of that.
Lot of things, but again, it goes back, you know, like it's like kids drinking it at parents' houses.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, Carol. Thanks for your call.
All righty.
And we've said goodbye to our guests, and we have
our first guest. Right.
Well, yes, because we have a very good friend, someone that we highly respect in our studio.
Mark Meacham. Mark is, well, he blogs for another media source around here, Reading.com. But Mark has got such a varied background. He's worked for Forbes. He's just lived throughout the world. He understands business, finance, and how things happen. And when we were having dinner the other night, he said, we talked about Bernie Madoff. Now, as you know, Bernie Madoff made off with $60 billion. Well, Mark explained how that happened and how we can avoid it. And that's why we said this is a good man to have on the show. So good morning, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Mark.
How did Bernie do this?
Well, Bernie Madoff ran a Ponzi scheme. And a Ponzi scheme is a fairly commonplace securities fraud. and they're difficult to detect, especially in good market times, because the way they work, people invest money, and the existing investors are paid returns, allegedly paid returns, with that new money or their own money. And they typically are out returns that are, you know, 8, 9, 10%, well above what you would get in a bank. And Bernie Madoff promised his investors 8 to 10%, 12% a year, year after year, regardless of market conditions. And they were happy to keep their money with him. They kept getting statements saying, oh, you made 8% or 12% in 2001, 2003, whatever. And they took it on faith that that money was really there. In fact, he had just dummied up those statements. He made no investments at all. He siphoned off money, or he paid money from new investors to existing investors. It was a total scam, and these things can go on for years and years and years. And his scam would probably still be going on today if it hadn't been for the market correction, which caused a lot of people to become fearful and try to withdraw money. But there was no money in his case.
Oh, so that's how, okay, it wasn't out of the goodness of his heart, said, oh, I've done this for so long.
No, now, and the other thing is that regulators didn't uncover it either.
Well, that's something we need to talk about, too, as regulators. But you said this was a certain kind of scam. You said it had something to do with the affinity.
It's affinity fraud. It's a Ponzi scheme, but it's comes under the classification of affinity fraud. Bernie Madoff targeted people in the largely, you know, Jewish charities, Jewish communities in New York and in Florida and in Los Angeles. And word spread around that he was a smart investment guy. He was the chairman of the NASDAQ stock market in the early 90s, so he had a lot of credibility. He and his sons had run investment firms for years. And people didn't suspect him. He didn't come across as a fly-by-night operator. The regulators, even though they had had some indication that he was there might have been some problems there, gave him a pass, really.
Well, now we talk about regulators. Now, the regulators are supposed to check this out. And I realize he's coming from an area where people could trust him. And, you know, the other thing, too, before we talk about regulators, from what I understand after listening to one of the people that lost well over $1 million in this scheme, he said, you know, it was perfect because they made it hard to get into his investment portfolio. You know, you almost had to be invited into it, and you had to guarantee so much up front. I mean, you couldn't come in there with $100,000. It was like you had to come in there almost with $1 million. To be able to invest with him. And, you know, and this gent lost $1.5 million, and I think his family lost like $20 million. So, I'm sorry.
No, it's a terrible problem. And I think two things people have to keep in mind. One is the regulators can't police every corner of the securities market. So that means that investors need to do their own homework and be skeptical about people offering very high returns. We have a guy here in Reading who ran an investment, allegedly an investment scam, James Koenig, which imploded about 2 years ago. It may have cost thousands of investors in California and around the country tens of millions of dollars. And he charges haven't been brought yet. This is another issue because these kind of cases are very, very difficult to investigate. It takes a long time and a lot of money for prosecutors to bring them. And in the end, oftentimes people, if they are convicted, rarely, they end up serving pretty modest sentences given the amount of damage that they've done to people's lives.
Yeah.
Mark, tell our listeners what you did with Forbes.
Oh, I was the West Coast Bureau Chief for Forbes in Los Angeles from 87 to 1990. And we covered, my office covered companies all over the Western United States, Hawaii, Mexico, Canada, and all the way out to Japan. I made several trips to Japan.
So I think it's important to let our listeners know that you have such hands-on knowledge of how these sorts of terrible schemes can happen. Have you ever been directly involved with helping to uncover such an ordeal?
I worked in Washington, D.C. for a number of years heading up an association of state securities regulators. And my members routinely exposed these scams. Unfortunately, they exposed only a relatively tiny fraction of these scams, and they prosecuted an even smaller fraction of those scams, and they put people behind bars in very rare instances. Mm-hmm. And I used to say to people that if you hold up a 7-Eleven with a toy gun and take $50 from the cash drawer, you're going to go to the penitentiary. If you steal, you know, $10 million from 1,000 investors, chances are you'll never be prosecuted. Or if you are prosecuted, you may only go to jail for 6 months or, you know, 6 months or a couple of years at a minimum security prison.
Yeah.
How can we make that change? Because that's quite a travesty. We've got to take a break. We're taking your calls, too. If you have any questions regarding this subject, 221-1402. We'll see you on the other side. This is News Talk 1400 KQMS. Welcome back. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by New Image Photography. Dan and Julia, our photographers of choice. Right now, Dan is doing an exceptional job. One of his things is taking professional pictures of interior and exterior businesses. So, take a gander. Mark. We were talking, we had dinner the other night, we were talking about Bernie Madoff, and I boil inside when I think here is this man. I mean, he has ruined thousands, and intentionally thousands and thousands of life. I mean, what do we do with a guy like that? I mean, you can't put him in prison long enough, so he dies in prison. Where is the pain and suffering inflicted on him?
Well, you're right. There's probably no more premeditated crime than securities fraud. It's not a crime of passion. It's not a crime of impulse. It's something that takes years and years, in some cases, to perpetrate. In Bernie Madoff's case, he was doing it for 10, 15, 20 years, perhaps. And he never, ever made a single legitimate investment, as I understand, with his money. He just took it and paid existing investors or paid himself or shipped the money overseas. God only knows what they did with it.
Now, here's something that I really want to get into before in the remaining time we have, Mark. How does somebody avoid something like this? How do you avoid getting into a Ponzi scheme?
Use your common sense, your God-given common sense, and ask yourself this question. Why and how is this man offering me 8 to 10 to 12% returns when I can only get 2 or 3% at the bank with an insured deposit? You have to understand that the money he's offering you, the returns he's offering you, are lined up with the risk entailed in that investment. The ultimate risk, obviously, is fraud, and that's what Madoff's customers and clients suffered. But if someone's offering you 8 to 10%, as James Koenig did in Reading, to investors in California and around the country by investing in these senior care properties that he and his partners were allegedly aggregating and selling pieces of, he offering 8 to 10% in a climate where that is really outside the market parameters, you have to ask, why should I trust this guy? And I understand there are a lot of people now with low interest rate environment who are trying to extend their retirement nest eggs. They're worried about running out of money. But you can't suspend disbelief when somebody comes along offering you a unrealistic, even preposterous return.
Well, now, during the stock market soaring, there was people that, you know, some of these investments were making 10%. On that. Now, is it completely a different type of scheme?
It's a different kind of investment. I mean, the stock market itself can go up by 10% or 12% a year. But a lot of these people that were Madoff's customers, or in this case, James Koenig's customers, they wanted to invest their retirement nest egg. They were older people, 60, 70 years old. They weren't interested in buying growth stocks. They wanted
the solid stocks.
They wanted stocks, or they wanted financial instruments that yielded 8 to 10, 12%, which doesn't happen. That's what they were interested in. They were interested in preserving capital. They weren't interested in buying the next Microsoft.
Right. Well, you know, here is the worst thing, too, is that one of the reasons we wanted is is that he wiped out the savings and all these plans, the things that these 70s, 80-year-olds were going to live on the rest of their lives. It's gone now. And one of the reasons we wanted to have Mark on the show is that, you know, we have a number of retirees in our community, and this scam goes on all the time. We need, and even younger, you know, you're trying to invest money. It's a horrible time being in the stock market, but somebody can say, hey, look, I've got something that's going to pay you 8%. And when that comes along, it's too good to be true. So, and that's what Mark is saying. So it's before you invest your money, listen to that little voice inside you that says, I'm not too sure about this.
Now, this actually, I didn't know this until the whole Madoff thing, that Ponzi is named after a guy who was the beginner or started, I'm sure this started way back in the days of Cain and Abel, but when money was a big issue, who's Ponzi?
Ponzi scheme is named after a fellow named Charles Ponzi, who was an Italian immigrant who came to the United States in the early part of the last century. And he came up with a scheme in about 1919 or 1920 involving an instrument called postal reply coupons. And he purported to offer investors, really generous returns, 10 or 15%. In a matter of a month or two. And he actually did pay early investors those kind of returns, but he paid those returns from money from later investors. And this went on for a couple of years. Mr. Ponzi became fabulously wealthy. He bought a house in suburban Boston with a heated swimming pool and all kinds of other fancy accoutrements. And eventually it collapsed, as all these things eventually do, and he became quite notorious. Again, he spent some time in prison, but he ended up getting out and continuing to defraud people.
Yeah. Hey, look, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. We have to take a quick break here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS, which you just heard on the last commercial, Nicole. Julie, you're on. We got only a few seconds.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I understand that the people that signed their checks to Bernard Madoff made them off in his name instead of a company like Charles Schwab.
Oh.
Is there something else, other points that people can look for? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else, sir?
Well, that's a good point, not making out checks to an individual's name. But even if it had been made out to Bernie Madoff Investments, I'm afraid it still would have been lost. People have to remember, look, this is their money. And they have to be careful. As Carl said, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Don't expect the regulators to protect you in all cases. They don't have enough manpower or resources to do it. Just be vigilant and be skeptical when someone offers you an investment that it promises to return a lot more money than you'd get at the bank.
Bob, you're up.
Yeah, okay, real quickly, as your guest said, these Ponzi schemes have been going on since Mr. Ponzi and before. Thing is, they go on and on and on because seniors keep biting and biting and biting. And we listen to constantly, day in and day out, it's too good to be true, it is. And yet people keep doing it. When are we going to finally learn, and what could you offer to the senior crowd or anybody? Maybe beyond just the simple words of, as it sounds too good to be true, it is. Why do seniors keep doing this? I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Good question.
Why do seniors keep doing it? Because they are afraid of their money running out, and they may have a couple $100,000, best case scenario, saved, and they don't know how long they're going to live. They don't want to spend the principal down, and so they are prime candidates for these kind of fraudsters who promise them, 8 to 10 or 12% a year on their investments.
I think that also that they've come up in a different time, that they have a tendency to trust people maybe a little bit more than people that have come up, a generation behind them. So, okay, Foster, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Real quick, would you guys like to read about the Ponzi and other scoundrels? I have a Reader Digest book, Scoundrels and Scallywags.
It talks about that?
Yeah. Yes, Ponzi's the second one in there.
Well, you know,
scallywags.
Scallywags.
Scallywags. Good.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks a lot. We appreciate that. But I tell you what, they are scoundrels.
If you want to rate it, I'll drop by the station.
Hey, do that, because that'll give us some things to talk about in the next few weeks.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Sounds like it should be a show. Scoundrels and Scallywags.
Yeah, well. Hey, you know, we want to thank Mark Beach for being here today. And, you know, like I said, Mark writes a blog for Reading.com. But this is the kind of thing that people need to take a good look at. It's, you got to take care of yourself. You know, I hate to say this, but the regulators, unless something is really out of the ordinary or something, you know, really comes up, the regulators probably not even going to bite on it.
Thank you for bringing your expertise to us today, Mark. Any closing thoughts?
Be careful out there.
Yeah, when we say it's the good guys against the bad guys, we mean it. Okay, hey, you know, tomorrow we're going to have a gentleman that wants to talk tax revolution here. And I tell you what, it seems like there's a grassroots movement that's moving along, you know, that's coming along. Thursday, of course, is PITA. We have some PITA people here.
Now, I wonder how she's going to show up.
Well, you know, I was getting ready for PETA yesterday. I was practicing my...
I'm going to bring my coats.
My handling of animals that are eating grass or something. Anyway, the other thing, too, is that there are some things happening with the Obama administration that's impacting directly on veterans. And I'm talking about the insurance. I'm talking about them saying that they want veterans to pay through private insurance injuries they had in combat. So we're going to talk about that too. So look, this is Carl Linda Bottom, Free Fire Radio. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?